Many colleges and universities across the country will reopen their campuses for students. In New York State, the spring semester on campus was obviously cut short when institutions shut down and students were sent home to finish their courses online. New York entered phase four of reopening in a lot of places last week. And phase four includes higher education. Local college and university leaders have been planning for the fall since the shutdown, and they have faced difficult decisions. They've navigated government guidelines. They've heard questions and concerns from students and parents and faculty. So what could reopening look like? And what will be required of students in particular to ensure campuses can stay safe? Just this morning, NPR reporter Alyssa Nadworny published a piece arguing that student behavior is key to colleges reopening safely. She writes that coronavirus cases are rising among young people, especially 18 to 49 in this country, and the spread has been linked to college-related events in many places, like frat parties, drinking at bars, athletic practices. Some colleges are creating contracts for students to sign in an effort to have them adhere to the guidelines, essentially saying, I'm not going to host big parties. But some people, like Lauren Steinberg, a psychology professor at Temple University, says that expecting students to play it safe is a fantasy. Well, this hour we talk with local college presidents about their plans to bring back thousands of people on their campuses and what that looks like in the age of a pandemic. How will they motivate students to stick with those guidelines? And what's the plan if there is an outbreak of the virus on campus? We talked to them about those questions and more, and I know they have been top of mind at Roberts Wesleyan. Dr. Dina Porterfield is the president of Roberts Wesleyan College and Northeastern Seminary. Dr. Porterfield, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Also good to have Dr. Jerry Rooney, president of St. John Fisher College. Dr. Rooney, welcome.
Thank you, Reverend. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And Dr. Catherine Douglas, interim president of Monroe Community College. Dr. Douglas, welcome to you as well. All right. Let me start with Dr. Porterfield and just ask briefly all three of you to kind of outline for our listeners where you are in your process of deciding how much the fall, and essentially that could mean end of August, early September, but essentially fall on campus, how much that is aiming to look like a typical non-pandemic fall. Dr. Porterfield?
Yes, thank you. Well, I don't know if anything is going to be typical anymore, so let's just start with that. But we plan to start our fall semester as scheduled on Monday, August 24th. But we will make a few changes. We will not take a fall break, and we will continue through Thanksgiving break and move off campus and then finish the last few weeks online, our finals as well as one last week of courses. To say it all looks normal would not be correct, because we are very adamant right now about making sure that we have provided all of the safety regulations and guidelines and are aligning with those for New York State, Monroe County, and the CDC. And we're currently actually giving students an opportunity at the undergraduate level to decide if they want to be in face-to-face or in online courses. So we're actually preparing for both scenarios this coming fall. And so students that are on campus or commuting and want to be in class on the campus at Roberts can do that. And those that are not comfortable or may have some situation that keeps them from being able to engage in face-to-face activity at this point, we will allow that to be virtual. And then we will take that break, and our plan is to return in the spring as scheduled on January 11th.
Do you have maybe guess is the wrong word, an estimate for what the kind of breakdown would be for students who would choose virtual learning versus in-person?
Yes, actually, they have a few more days to return their surveys to us. But right now, it looks like roughly 10% of our students are saying that they would like to remain virtual.
What about your staff and professors? Have you had any concern about teaching in person?
So, yes. So, I don't have the final numbers yet, but we do have a number of faculty either that have some health concerns or family members that live with them that have some health concerns. And so we're working to accommodate those faculty and staff as well.
Dr. Rooney, at St. John Fisher College, what can we expect the fall to look like?
Evan, I think we can expect that it will be different, as President Porterfield mentioned. It is a pandemic period, but we do feel that we can safely reopen the campus, and our plan is to, in fact, do that. We have accelerated our academic calendar 2 weeks, so we typically begin after Labor Day with classes, but we're going to start classes this year on August 24th, and that will allow us to conclude in-person and on-ground classes by the Thanksgiving break. So we won't take any breaks throughout the fall, giving us the opportunity to have classes on each day. And then we'll continue after Thanksgiving with a remote finals period. So we have adjusted the academic calendar. We know from our student standpoint that they want to be here with us on campus. They've expressed that loud and clear. So we are moving forward with that in our planning, really driven by two guiding principles. First and foremost, the health and safety of our students, faculty, and staff, and then trying to maximize the in-person instruction that will allow us to deliver the Fisher academic experience that our students and faculty value.
Are you going to require testing?
Testing is actually an area that we are still considering. We're going to be working with Rochester Regional Health in our health and safety education and protocols. So we have been through a number of educational sessions with them and are continuing to work with them to determine the best approach to testing. We will have daily monitoring, we know, of people who are going to be coming to campus, and that will allow us to ensure that people who do come from off campus are well. You know, we have a lot of faculty and staff who will be commuting in, as well as our students. And then we'll also have a number of residential students on campus who will also be expected to utilize the daily health protocol too.
Sure. And Dr. Rooney, what is the protocol if a student tests positive for COVID-19?
Well, that becomes a matter that involves Monroe County and Dr. Mendoza and his team, Evan. So we're working as a group of independent college presidents in Rochester weekly meeting to talk together about reopening our campuses. And we've had Dr. Mendoza as part of those conversations. So that would move to isolation immediately. So we would be prepared to isolate students off campus. And then obviously there would be tracing and tracking that would be involved that would then probably place a number of people in quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, on a college campus, I imagine tracing could involve a lot of people, depending on if the student has been in a classroom, at a party. That could be a lot of people, couldn't it?
Well, there are actually, you know, a limited number of degrees of separation in a campus community. We really operate as a very close and intact community. And so we think that it would be people on campus that you would be most likely to be in contact with. And so we would have an idea of where people would be in terms of their class schedules or their daily routines. And we would have them being in contact regularly with professors and others on campus. So we think we can accomplish that. Is it going to be a simple process? No, I don't think any aspect of reopening safely will be, but I think it's certainly possible.
Okay, fair enough. And when you say off-campus quarantine, are we talking, you know, using hotels, for example, or other kinds of structures?
Yes, that is what we're talking about, off-campus locations. So in other words, facilities that would not be part of the residential infrastructure of the campus.
Okay, could the students go home if they're local?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I take the point, Dr. Rooney. I know this is all complicated, and we certainly appreciate the effort and the time here. Dr. Douglas, can you describe what MCC might look like in the fall?
Well, similar to my colleagues, it won't look the same as a typical fall semester. But we are also working with the state, the CDC, the county, and SUNY in terms of what it will look like. And so also, you know, health and safety is absolutely our number one priority for both our employees and our students. But the academic integrity of the coursework that we deliver is also our second priority. And so we will be looking at those curriculum that we have assessed, our faculty have assessed, are actually critical to be delivered face-to-face, and we will prioritize those for face-to-face delivery in the fall. That is roughly about 300 courses for us, and we have well over 1,500 courses. So it's not even 25% of our courses that will be face-to-face, but Evan, I've been kidding that You know, I drive over many bridges over the Genesee River in Rochester, and I want the welders that are welding those bridges to have actually done some welding. So welding is one of the programs that will be coming back face-to-face. The remaining will be offered remotely. Our faculty have been incredibly creative through the spring semester in terms of how to deliver with academic integrity in a remote fashion. We will monitor closely students who are coming back to campus and the employees as well. You know, there will be reduced capacities in the classrooms. There will be required sanitation and PPE. Through SUNY, we have been provided with three options for testing, either event testing, pool testing, or mass testing. So my executive team is working with SUNY to make a decision about which one of those three options is right for MCC. I'm sure you're aware, Evan, that our campus is a site for testing in Monroe County.
And a great one, by the way. I've been there three times. It's absolutely marvelously run. It has been.
Well, thank you. You know, I think about the fact that our New York State taxes are being well used when I see how well that testing site is being done.
Yeah.
We test over 500 individuals a day, and we've been doing that for months now. So we know that we can have students and employees tested because the criteria has been expanding and they would be allowed. But the quality of the test, we have to make sure, you know, at that moment in time, the swab test tells us they don't have the virus, but it doesn't tell us if they have other antibodies. So we're looking at some of those options through SUNY.
And Dr. Douglas, you know, you mentioned welding is something that you really got to do in person, but you're going to have plenty of options for maybe some creative online learning. What's the breakdown roughly? I mean, what percentage of coursework is going to likely be online in the fall?
Remote, it will probably be closer to 75 or 80% of our coursework will be remote for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We will monitor how having that 20 to 25% of our students and employees back. If our numbers stay solid, we will expand that for the spring.
The next question is for all three of our guests, but I mean, I certainly understand it applies much more to sort of residential settings here. And when you look at universities like the University of Pennsylvania, they're asking students to, quote, refrain from organizing, hosting, or attending events, parties, or other social gatherings off campus. And they want the students to sign a contract, essentially saying, I'm a student at UPenn and I'm not going to do this. Dr. Porterfield, is that something that you'd consider?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, the safety and health of our students is the top priority along with our faculty and staff. And so one of the things that we are looking at is how can we best educate our students? You know, I've heard throughout the summer from our traditional undergrads specifically saying, please, please bring us back to campus. Let us be on campus. And we know that there is a strong desire to be in the residential experience at Roberts. And part of our experience includes that. And so if we are able to partner with our students, and I say partner in a way that says, we understand you want to be back, but to be back, you have to take ownership of the community and your responsibility. So, you know, this argument that society's having about masks, well, we're going to need to wear masks. We're going to need to socially distance ourselves. We're going to have to pay attention to how we feel. We're going to have to take an assessment every day as faculty, staff, and students and say where we're at. We're going to need to make sure that we do temperature checks, right, throughout the campus, that we are honest with ourselves about how we feel and what's going on. Roberts is a little different community in that we already have some expectation standards around partying, for example, and
sure,
some of those. We're a dry campus. Doesn't mean our students don't push the boundaries, but I think some of those areas, I'm thankful that we can stay within the parameters of who we already are. But it's going to take the students being committed and helping them understand that if they do not abide by these parameters and these health and safety measures, it's going to impact the entire community, including them, and they desire to be there. So we're going to try to do education. We're making a video that we'll send out in advance of school school restarting. We're talking about how do we make commitments together as a learning community for this health and safety of each other.
Dr. Rooney, can you imagine asking students to sign a contract saying they're not going to go to parties, they're not going to host parties, they're not going to gather unnecessarily?
Absolutely, Evan. And we can reinforce that, as President Porterfield said, with messaging and really inviting the students into a social contract with us. This is something we know they want. There was nothing more painful than having them leave campus in the spring and to have them return home, because so much of college is living in an environment and getting to know other people and establishing friendships and taking full advantage of all that there is. But in order for us to afford them that opportunity, we need a special partnership this semester, this academic year. So we're working, you know, with planning teams campus-wide who are looking at varying aspects of campus operations, teaching and learning, and the health and safety being paramount. And I agree with President Porterfield, inviting our students into that shared experience and our collective responsibility for maintaining that environment is really something I anticipate the students will rise to the occasion and support. They really want to be in the learning environment that is so much familiar to them and so much supports their educational goals and aspirations. We want to provide that, and I think together we certainly can if we all work together to maintain the health and safety of the entire campus community.
Sure, and Dr. Rooney, to state the obvious, in any non-pandemic year, there are potentially penalties for students who, you know, and to use a broad term, misbehave, drink underage, host kind of those kind of parties, whatever. But I'm more curious right now to know if a student, let's say, hosts a gathering, a small party, with other students, you know, drinking, dancing close together, underage or not, could they be kicked off campus? Could they be kicked out of St. John Fisher this year for that?
Evan, they wouldn't be obviously abiding by our student code of conduct if they were going to do that. So we're working really to reinforce some of the language in the code of conduct to emphasize these new considerations. But there's always been a student code of conduct. So some of the items that you mentioned would always lead someone to the student conduct process, whether or not that would necessitate their leaving campus as an extreme measure. But in this pandemic period, there's no question that we're going to be taking very seriously their responsibility and their willingness to participate in this collective responsibility and this shared community responsibility that we all have. So, yes, we will take it very seriously. The other thing, everyone's going to be required to wear a mask. Everyone's going to be required to participate in this daily app. So those are things that are not elective opportunities for them. That's all going to be part of coming back and being part of the reopening safely of our campus community.
Sure. And one other point on that, in an op-ed for the New York Times, I mentioned Temple University's Lawrence Steinberg, who writes that plans to reconfigure dorms, for example, to create family-sized clusters of uninfected students who could socialize with their suite mates safely are, quote, so unrealistically optimistic that they border on delusional and could lead to outbreaks of COVID-19. He goes on to write that most types of risky behavior, reckless driving, criminal activity, fighting, unsafe sex, binge drinking, to name just a few, peak during the late teens and early 20s of a person's life. And moreover, interventions designed to diminish risk-taking in this age group have an underwhelming track record. There's little reason to think that these approaches proposed to mitigate transmission of the coronavirus among college students will fare much better. That is a decidedly pessimistic view that I think Steinberg would say is just realistic. But can I ask you, is there going to be a change in the dorm setup? Is there going to be more space or different dorm expectations?
There is, Evan. We are creating more space in the residence halls by de-densifying those so that we will have single and double rooms. We won't have triples or quads. So that de-densification is an important first step just to create fewer people in the living environment. And then also, you know, roommates are important people in the life of collegiate students. And so encouraging them to stay in their room is something that we will do, to stay within a smaller area, not utilizing some of the common areas that they're accustomed to.
Is that realistic, though?
And then, I think that, you know, in our environment, I can only speak to our environment and not the one that you
sure.
cited in the article that was written, but I think it is realistic. Will it happen consistently? I think we'll remind people through signage. We'll remind them through hall meetings. You know, we have RAs in the building, and resident directors. We have staff who will be on hand. And we have a team working on student engagement and success planning. So they're looking for opportunities for people to be able to create a safe and comfortable community, both for residential and commuter students. But I can assure you that it will not be, going back to the beginning, it's not going to be a semester like any other. But I think it can be a successful semester where students have the opportunity to engage in a college residential experience, and where as a campus community, we can strive together to do that both in a healthy way and safely.
Let me ask all three of you, Dr. Douglas, we've got listener questions. Listeners want to know, what is your institution's plan if a cluster of cases develops? I know you've all touched on it in sort of different ways here, but for those just tuning in, listeners, who are asking this question in various ways. MCC, what's the plan if there's a cluster of cases?
Well, Evan, what I'd like to also touch base on is the residence halls at MCC, if
sure,
I might.
Sure.
We've had our residence halls remain open through even when we closed the campus down. We have international students, and we have foster students who have aged out of the system. So we have students who literally had nowhere to go. And so we've had to manage our residence halls through this pandemic, and I can say that we've been able to do that in a fashion where the students were responsible. There's been no outbreak. And so we're confident that our plan to bring back a very reduced number of residential students to the MCC campus will be able to keep that record going.
Okay.
If there is some kind of a cluster, and again, we have had some experience because we kept our child care center open. Because, again, for a very limited number of children, because their student parents were either medical or emergency workers in Monroe County. And so we kept our child care center open. And you can imagine that when their parents are medical or emergency workers, they come into contact. They come into contact with COVID-19. So we did have a case. And we immediately shut down, fully sanitized everything, provided an escort for the parent and the child back to their apartment, worked closely with Monroe County's Department of Health, provided them food, personal hygiene supplies, and a check-in every day in terms of their health. This is the same kind of thing that we would do should we have some kind of a break, some kind of an outbreak in the fall semester. We're working very closely with the Department of Public Health and also with some of our colleagues in SUNY. We have a number of technology solutions that will be able to be used for contact tracing, for example, and screening. So we'll put all that technology into play. We will put the guidelines that we have experience with Monroe County into play, and we will keep our people safe.
Dr. Porterfield, if there is a cluster, or I guess for lack of a better term, an outbreak, what's the plan?
Right. So we have a plan with isolation, with quarantine on campus, depending on the size of the cluster. If we need to, we've already shown our ability to adjust quickly. We are offering courses both online and in person, and if we need to initiate that, depending on the size of that cluster and any outbreak that happens, we will do that. We have been following the county and New York State guidelines. We'll continue to do that. And so we will align in that area to make sure that not just Roberts Wesleyan College and Northeastern Seminary, but our county and our community also are safe to the best of our ability. I think we will also, just so you're aware, in partnership like Fisher, working with Rochester Regional Health and other healthcare providers to make sure that those that come into contact with an infection or that are infected have the ability to get to the services that they need. I think for us, though, it will be monitoring how large that cluster is to determine if we will go beyond isolation and quarantine to next steps for the college itself.
And let me follow up on that point, Dr. Porterfield. Really, this is for all of you. Here's two separate emails. Jim writes to say, would you ask if the college is accommodating at-risk staff and faculty with the chance to teach and work remotely? I know you touched on that a little bit, Dr. Porterfield. You can touch on that again. Mm-hmm. I'd like all three of you to do that. And then a separate question similar is, are they asking faculty to teach in person? I've heard only people who are actually immunocompromised themselves can teach remotely. But what about people whose kids are immunocompromised, or people who have had recent surgeries, or people who are over the age of 60? Dr. Porterfield mm-hmm. first. Go ahead.
Yes. So right now we're actually surveying our faculty and staff with that question. And we've had both faculty and staff respond if they have family members versus themselves. And we are doing our best to accommodate all of those situations. At this point, to answer, I think it was Jim's question. Yes, it is more than just if the faculty or staff themselves have a compromise. It is to understand the complexities of our family situations, especially since the pandemic hit. You know, we are at a place now where families are back together. So children who were living apart, parents who are needing to be cared for are there. And so we need to be sensitive to that. And I think because Roberts and Northeastern are offering both online and in-person courses, we will be able to accommodate that.
Okay. Dr. Rooney.
Evan, similarly, we are prepared to shift to a completely online experience as we did in the spring, if there were a need to do that. So we're prepared to do that, and we'll work with the county certainly in managing the number of cases, but we are prepared to both isolate and quarantine off campus and would work with the county otherwise. Relative to our employees, we do have a COVID-19 accommodations request process, and that would be for faculty and staff themselves, and it would be based on CDC guidelines, and it would also consider those who have a member of their household who would be deemed to be higher risk. So that process is rolling out this week, and we'll use the results of that or the request to really guide the number of people who come back to campus.
Dr. Douglas.
Yes, Evan, we will be accommodating our faculty. In fact, we did an employee survey to gauge the temperature of our folks in terms of their interest in teaching face-to-face remotely or coming back to campus. And of all the many surveys we've done at MCC, we had the highest response rate. We had over 60% response rate, and it was loud and clear that our employees are very concerned for their health, and we will honor that so that any individual who has a concern can work through a process with our HR department, and we will make the accommodations, whether it is for themselves or because of a family member.
Just about a minute left here, and so we don't have time to go in depth, but I know a lot of institutions were concerned over the last several months, and there was predictions that we could see institutions not survive this pandemic. We're going to see numbers of students down. We're obviously, the community doesn't want to see anybody close. What percentage of students do you expect, Dr. Porterfield, coming back, or what percentage of students won't be there given the pandemic?
Well, right now, our enrollment numbers look very strong. I actually had to laugh a little because I thought, wow, we are exceeding the goal for the fall in a pandemic. So right now, if all goes as planned, we will have one of the strongest incoming classes that we have had in the most recent years.
No big
drop
off.
So our goal is no. Now, students have said that if for some reason things change and we are unable to open, that might impact their decision. But at this point, looking to the fall, things are strong.
All right, Dr. Rooney, real tight here. How are things looking there?
Looking good, Evan. Enrollments are strong. We're likely to enroll our largest or second largest first-year class, which is a great accomplishment. So we think students want to come back, and they're demonstrating that in every way that we've asked them to this point.
Wow. Dr. Douglas, 15 seconds. What's it look like?
I can tell you that summer 2020, this right now, we are have met all our budget figures in terms of enrollment. And what we see are students are taking more courses, more credits per student than they have ever have in the past. So we anticipate that will happen for the fall.
Let me say to all three of you, and I know you and your colleagues in other institutions as well, have a lot of questions from the public. We appreciate the time. We hope you'll come back because there's a lot that will happen between now and the end of August. And going forward, thank you for making the time to all three of you from Roberts Wesleyan and Northeastern Seminary, from St. John Fisher College, from MCC, Drs. Porterfield, Rooney, and Douglas. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evan.
Cheers. We really appreciate that. And listeners, I promise K-12 is coming up soon, but we're also going to keep our eyes on higher ed. We'll try to get all your questions answered on these subjects and more connections coming up.